it opened after she, you know, she was like, I'm not in the White House anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that's who, how do you go, where do you go from being at the very top, you know, where people think like, this is the top of the hill, you know, is this downhill from here? And she was, you know, kind of captivating that in that moment. And, you know, throughout the book, it's, your life is not a destination. It's a constant journey.
And we all have a story to tell, a chapter to write, a hand to hold, and a legacy to leave. And I think Michelle Obama has shown us that in so many ways. And I think that, I know that women are taking this on and becoming their best selves, the best leaders, and creating those legacies.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Powering Up, a cross-generational conversation about leadership and power through a female lens. I'm Ann Doyle, author of Powering Up, How America's Women Achievers Become Leaders.
And I'm Monica Doyle. Our topic today is Michelle Obama's new book, Becoming. Since its publication last year, the book has sold over 3 million copies, and her speaking events are filling arenas and stadiums. I haven't read it yet, but I've heard a lot about it, and I've read a couple things about it on the internet, so I'm excited to talk about it today.
Well, I have read Becoming, and I loved it, and I was very disappointed that I was out of town when Michelle Obama was in Detroit to speak not that long ago, as part of her book tour. And, you know, there have been tens of thousands at these, and then so many people coming that her publisher just announced 21 more events in 2019. Yeah. And including 4 of those in Canada and 6 in Europe. So, you know, her message really is resonating across generations. It's resonating across class and racial lines. And that's really what we want to talk about today with our guests, Monica. And both of them were so inspired by this book that they took some action.
We have Tatiana Wheeler. She is a wife, a mother of 3, and a digital media strategist who describes herself as a woman who likes spending time with her family and empowering women. She created a Becoming Facebook group to engage with other women across the themes Obama raises in her book.
Hello, Tatiana.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
And our second guest is Marilyn French Hubbard, who brings the perspective of a baby boomer, as I am, who has been on her life and professional journey for a long time. We both have. She's a former healthcare senior executive. She's a business owner of Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, which has been empowering and educating women for years, and she's also the author of several books, including The Sisters Are Cashing In. But Marilyn, you have been leading book group discussions.
Yes.
So welcome.
Thank you.
Well, Tatiana, I'd like to start with you. Okay. You know, as Monica was mentioning, you're a mother of 3, including a 6-week-old.
Yes.
You have a husband, you're a working woman, you're very busy. So what the heck was it about this book that prompted you to take on something else in your very busy life,
page? That's what I was thinking. I was like, I was laying in bed and I was like finishing up chapter 1. And I was like, you know what? This is something that we need to do together. Like, I need to share this experience with someone else. Like, I can't just do this and just internalize this myself, because I know that this book is resonating with other women. I know that it is. So I was just, I was pregnant. I was on bed rest. And, you know, I was like, why not, you know, get some conversation going about something as beautiful as this book. So I just started a Facebook page. I created, you know, create group and took a picture of her and invited some people. And we just started the discussion from there.
And you got a great reaction right
away.
Yeah,
absolutely. Especially it was during her tour, too. I didn't get to go either. You know, I was like, is it wheelchair accessible? Like, can they wheel me in? So I'm really glad she's going to be coming back. Hopefully she comes here. If not, I'll try to travel to her. It was a great response. It was also like empowering to me to read it and actually have other people come along with the themes that she had in her book as well.
We want to get into all of that, but...
And we have Marilyn. You have already led over 14 book group discussions. What prompted you to do that? What prompted you to make these groups, and what are you discovering?
Well, the book just developed a life of its own.
Yeah.
And actually, my book club, one of two book clubs I belong to, we read it, and we were just having a discussion similar to this one, and... the women there were just so excited, and I was probably, this was my thing. You know, I've been doing a lot of work lately around legacy, and I kind of liken this to, you know, how do we create our legacies? What is Michelle doing here? So throughout her book, so when I read the book, it was really resonating with me, and I'd done a lot of thinking about it, and I've been a facilitator in the past, and so... people just started asking me to facilitate other groups. And it's kind of like an idea whose time has come. Mm-hmm. And it's something that is for everyone. And I think women are kind of like reinventing themselves now. They're re-energized. And I think that Michelle gave everybody a vision or view of the opportunity to look at where you are right now and to look at where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And just real encouraging.
Well, and so it's actually interesting to me. I'd actually like to ask this to both of you. But Tatiana, you said that you were inspired to create a group like after chapter one.
Yeah.
Like after just reading one chapter of the book, you're like, I need to talk to somebody.
Yeah, the first line when she said she was sitting on a couch and something about a cheese toast. And I was just like, because she was, it opened after she, you know, she was like, I'm not in the White House anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that's who, how do you go, where do you go from being at the very top? Think like this is the top of the hill, you know, is this downhill from here? And she was, you know, kind of captivating that in that moment. And, you know, throughout the book, it's not where you are going. I mean, it's not a destination, mm-hmm. basically. Your life is not a destination. It's a constant journey.
What I wanted to know really actually was what have you been hearing from the other people in these groups that you've started, from women and I'm sure men as well. I was reading a couple things on the internet about how men were very excited to read this book as well. So I was interested in knowing what types of conversations these groups have sparked, what types of things the women in your group say have drawn them to this group.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say what encouraged me, similar to you, is how Michelle always kept a sense of herself, no matter what was going on. I did not make her book tour either, but I met Michelle over the years. Actually, my Facebook page is a picture of Michelle and I together. And I remember way back then when I met Michelle, her husband was actually running for president at the time. And we were at a gathering, and we probably spent 30 seconds together.
Mm-hmm.
But she made me feel like I was the most important person mm-hmm. for that 30 seconds.
She has that ability.
Mm-hmm. She was just captivating. And I think people are looking at Michelle now much differently than what they did when she came in office. And I think her vulnerability, you know, saying I had some things to learn. I grew in that role. I made some decisions in that role. I really like the book, and as I've talked with groups of women and men, I really like how the book is broken up into three sections,
mm-hmm.
becoming me, becoming us, and becoming more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so each section, you know, has its nuggets in it. And I think that all of us could find some part of ourselves in each one of those sections.
Well, and look, I woefully have not read the book, mm-hmm. but I did read about how each section was called Becoming Something. And as you were saying earlier, Tatiana, you know, she talks about like, where do you go from each next step? So I thought it was really interesting that her whole message, you know, around that idea was the next step is becoming mm-hmm. something new, yeah. always something new.
And you're allowing always yourself to become
yeah.
that.
You're always becoming. Mm-hmm. You never have become. You're just becoming something mm-hmm. else.
Because Michelle, in the chapter Becoming Us, she was really, I would say, resistant to becoming anything else other than what she had set out to do. She was focused.
Striver. She was a striver.
Like, if this does not assimilate to what I am doing, then I am rejecting it. That's how she was. And until she met, you know, her husband, she became more flexible in a way in trying to, in taking in new experiences and doing different things that ultimately, you know, became a part of her journey as well. Mm-hmm. And I really resonated that with that, because sometimes you could be so rigid and focused on where you're going and what you have set up for yourself that you kind of reject the things that are attracted to you because it's a part of who you're supposed to become.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
You know, I want to take us back for a second because, Marilyn, you mentioned, you know, the fact about meeting her during the campaign. And one of my images I'll never forget from the campaign was that terrible New Yorker magazine cover, which featured the two of them. And she was featured as an armed Black Panther,
right,
fist bumping, you know, with her husband. And that was like America didn't know what to do at first with this Harvard law degree lawyer, executive woman, tall and powerful and confident in her own right, you know, as the wife of this candidate. And here we've come. She's one of the most admired people in the world right now. And to witness what she has become.
Right. Well, I really like how she sticks to her mantra of when they go low, we go high.
Mm-hmm.
And in every instance, she did that. You know, as she talked about in the book, you know, the terrible things that people said about her, how it made her feel, you know. But she was always so focused on her family first.
Mm-hmm.
But she never, ever lost sense of self. She didn't let other people's opinions of her destroy her.
Mm-hmm.
And even with her husband, as you were saying earlier, when they met and were becoming a couple and gelling, the vulnerability again just gets me as she talks about, you know, we had problems, we went to counseling.
Yep.
And I really liked how she took control and said, I'm going to set some boundaries here.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that she talked about in the book, and I heard her say it in the speeches, was when President Obama wouldn't get home for dinner.
Right.
And she would wake the kids up and say, here he is. And finally, she's like, look, dinner is at 7:30 and the kids go to bed at 8.
Yeah.
If you want to see them, you figure out how to get here.
I'm not waking them up.
Absolutely.
And
I'm not keeping your dinner warm.
And I just really loved how she figured it all out.
Mm-hmm.
And that was throughout her whole life. She just figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
And with confidence, poise.
You know what I like is that she, you know, she said that she didn't react. She went high when they went low. But she said, looking back, those things did hurt her. And, you know, she almost wasn't as relatable as she wanted to be because she didn't allow herself to say, hey, these things are hurtful, because someone else looking at her like, wow, I'm not as strong as that. You know, those things would hurt me, you know, and here she is. She's like this solid as a rock person, you know, so she realizes that, you know, allowing herself to say, hey, you know, those things are hurtful. Those things aren't right when people say those things to you. I think she really opened up about that in the book as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I'm strong, but those things, you know, are hurtful and people can be mean.
Well, and it's interesting to me that both of you are talking about her vulnerability because, like I said, me not having read the book, I've only seen the strong rock of a woman that she always presents herself. And before we started the podcast, we were talking about what the role of the First Lady is and how it can sort of be to back off and allow the president to have all of the glory. And I said, I never saw her like that. Like, I never saw her as backing down when she needed to do something and when she needed to make a statement.
No, but they did tone her down.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, most definitely. I think she and the president are true partners.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the vulnerability even came across as strength.
Yeah.
It wasn't weakness. Mm-hmm. It was, this is who I am. And I would say the word refinement. Michelle was thrown into an arena. They'd been in the political arena, but
she didn't like politics. She always said she never liked it.
No, but, you know, she was the first African-American, truly, woman that was going to be in the first lady's role. Yeah. So there were no role models. So she set the standard.
Yeah.
I mean, can you just imagine?
Great job.
As they were campaigning, going from place to place, the new things she was learning, the resistance that she was encountering, but still having to endure it all.
The racism.
It's
in our country. And I mean, even that comment that she made about, I wake up in the morning in a home that was built by slaves.
Right.
And that was a pretty powerful thing.
Oh my
she
God,
used her platform to make, to remind the country.
Mm-hmm. And also, even within her own race, you know, a lot of people at the very beginning were not supporting them. I mean, you know, the minister who they entrusted and who married them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they overcame all of that by staying on that high road. Mm-hmm.
Well, and it's really been admirable with, Barack not being in the presidency anymore. People have been looking back at, you know, how he interacted with his wife and how they had such a very clear, you know, healthy relationship, and comparing it to other first ladies and presidents, it's like dizzying how good of a relationship they had and how much they presented this concept of a healthy couple.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. And you know, it was, you could see the individual, they were individuals, but they were also we, you know.
Absolutely. They talk alike. They're the cadence in their voice, the delivery in their tone, they are seriously in step with each other. Absolutely. I did want to go back to when you say she didn't like politics and how in the book, you know, allowing yourself to become, how she went to the Bud Billiken parade. She really wasn't even interested. They were trying to go to the mall. They ended up being dragged to this to this parade, and how that was her first brush with politics. And just to end up as the First Lady of the United States of America, that is absolutely amazing. It's like every small encounter that you have can have a huge impact on your life. And that's what I take, and I resonate with it because, you know, even just from being here, like, you never know what chain of reaction is happening from each little small thing that you do in your life. So I just love this book so much.
Well, and I've heard that a lot of people are interested in seeing her in a political role too. Like people who want to see her as a vice president, as a president, you know.
She's like, no way.
Yeah.
She's made it very clear that that's not the role.
I just think it's
in there, done that.
I think it's a commitment to her that people like her so much that they're begging her to take on one of these roles. They love her so much.
She has some initiative though. She has her, it's about healthy kids and getting out. And I think she really, she took those things that she was passionate about and she ran with them. It's still something that is very prevalent to this day, even with them being out of the office, you know, still making kids be active and a healthy diet. So I think she did a great job in her role in taking on what she felt passionate about and letting him do what he, you know, was in office to do.
Well, and I think she actually did make a pretty big dent in what she set out to do as the First Lady. You know, the current First Lady isn't making quite as much of a dent in her goals.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, Barack Obama was the first president I was able to vote for, and I did. And it was really interesting to me because it was the first time that I ever noticed a First Lady.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, one of the things that comes through very clearly in this book, and we have this sense now, is that because Barack Obama had such an unusual background, even to the fact that, you know, whether he was an American citizen was challenged because he was born in Hawaii and you know, his father was not an American. And so he had a very exotic background. And yet paired with this American, an African-American, her story is so powerful. I mean, it really almost symbolizes many, many stories. Growing up on the south side of Chicago, you know, from a very solid family, but a family that struggled. I mean, she watched her neighborhood change in terms of the poverty that began taking over that neighborhood. She saw gang violence come into that. I mean, she was deeply rooted in the American experience of many, many Americans, which I thought brought great credibility I mean, she brought something to him that he didn't know,
right,
that he didn't experience, exactly, you know. And just credibility, I think, didn't that resonate with the, yeah, African-American community?
Right. And I think that's why it's resonating with so many people now as she's out on this book tour. You know, looking at the humble beginnings that she came from and her ability, you know, to survive the Ivy League colleges and, you know, law school and all that, and still be able to be just a common woman and be able to relate to common causes.
It didn't destroy her or change her route.
Or change her view. Mm-hmm. And each role that they had just strengthened them. And one of the things that I really enjoyed and that I try to apply to my own life is a circle of friends and confidants. You know, mm-hmm, her circle of girlfriends and advisors who became also his friends and advisors. And so, you know, you didn't hear a lot of gossip about them as they were in their role, because they were insulated with, you know, a circle of friends that had been there with them, mm-hmm, forever.
Mm-hmm.
And
your circle of trust. We all need our circle, mm-hmm, of trust,
yeah,
right?
That is so, so important. And then the role that her mother played. Mm. The mother did not try to get any glory herself. It's like, I'm here to make sure my daughter and son-in-law can be successful and that my grandkids get out of this same.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so right. I think that on so many fronts, they set so many examples.
Yes, they
for
did.
Us.
Her father having MS and
right.
watching him go through, you know, being this strong, you know, man, her father, you know, that took care of her, and to being, you know, in a wheelchair, like, you know, just seeing how she was able to deal with that and really just become more from that. She took from it, she grew from it, and it's amazing to watch. I mean, just look at this book, mm-hmm,
well,
and see how she's become
this person. And to contrast that with, you know, what we have today of these people who have, like, this horrible disconnect from, like, the average person, you know, like, it's almost clear that because Michelle and Barack had this experience of, you know, the common human experience.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They knew how to take care of the people that they were serving.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, the difference is very clear between that and people who were raised as billionaires.
Yeah, most definitely.
I want to get into also what you heard from the other people, because both of you created platforms and opportunities, mm-hmm, for other people to talk about this.
Right.
So what have you heard out there?
Uh-huh. Well, I will say probably from the book clubs that I have facilitated, the majority of the women have been accomplished women, closer to the baby boomer age. Many of them read it initially, but it didn't appear to me like they were applying it to themselves. It was like, yeah, that was Michelle, but I'm fine.
You mean, are you talking about older women?
Older women, yeah. Yeah, uh-huh.
Who felt that we've already become,
yeah,
or something?
Yeah, become. And so what we had to do was to work with them to say, you're evolving. You can be more. Mm-hmm. And so what it did was to open up the eyes of so many people.
Yeah, it doesn't have to just be about,
yeah,
her.
Yeah, and like they would say, oh, I'll give this book to my daughter. This could be good. But it's like, what about you?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that the example that she and her husband are setting as individuals and as a couple, it probably helped a lot of families, a lot of women, to see that, you know, their life parallels theirs in some kind of way, and there could be some tweaking. And that, again, back to her vulnerability, it's okay for me to say I need to learn some new things. So I think that one of the groups I was talking to Ann about, on the Becoming More, we got into a discussion about how we can change communities as a result of what we learn. And mm-hmm. the discussions have become very, very healthy, hinging, you know, on the political views. But how do you take our political views and make them into something that can really help the world?
Mm-hmm.
And so this one group has actually applied from a foundation to do some community work.
Mm-hmm.
And
she's really triggered. Right. Something beyond just reading her book.
Right. And I think people are beginning to see that they can be bigger, they can be more, and even they, as an individual, can make change.
What have you found, Tatiana?
Well, I dealt with, I would guess, millennials. They joined the group. And a lot of them are applying it to themselves. For instance, there was a point in the book where she was talking about the context and the unseen history. It was more so about you don't know what someone's been through. You don't know, just based off just us sitting here, I don't know what you guys have gone through. I don't know what your background is. For instance, I think it was her aunt. And, you know, she always looked at her as like being like, you know, edgy, kind of mean sometime, you know, and she just didn't know why. And a lot of times the elders in her family, she didn't know why they were the way they were. Even her grandfather, Southside, they didn't know, you know, why he acted the way he did. Her father, why he acted the way he did about his car. There were a lot of things that that were in the book, and she would take a minute and she would finally understand why they acted the way they did. Mm-hmm. Eventually, she would see the unseen history mm-hmm. that made them who they are and why they acted the way they did. And a lot of the people in the group that that were in my book club, they resonated with that, the context and the unseen history. I think that a lot of times in our walk of life, we don't really even care what someone else is going through. Somebody shows up late and you're like, who cares? Everybody has time that, you know, you should, you know, but we don't realize that this person could have just gotten into a car accident and still showed up. You know, you don't know.
Give other people a break.
Give people some slack, you know,
right.
Like give people a chance to and get to know them. And that's I think that's one of the biggest takeaways in this group. And I think that's one of the biggest issues in this country today. People are not, you know, they don't care what you're going through. They just see you showing up, and that's what you should be. You should be a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not always like that. I think you really need to give people an opportunity and be more kind to others and to yourself.
Well, you know, one of the things I will always remember from her, and we've mentioned a number of her quotes, but one I'll never forget is, and it was on the book tour where she said, you know, it's not always enough to lean in because that shit doesn't work all the time.
right, exactly.
And I think that it really came down to her being honest about, you know, it's not all the glamorous stuff. Here's the rest of my life.
Right.
Well, thanks for being here with us today. Our podcast focuses on leadership and power through a female lens. Would each of you leave our listeners with some insights or a message from Becoming that was most memorable or valuable to you?
Well, I have a quote that I really liked, and it goes back off of the small circle that you were talking about. I have a habit that has sustained me for life, keeping a close and high-spirited council of girlfriends and mm-hmm. a safe harbor of female wisdom. And that's so important. I mean, I'm going through some things right now with this nursing and this mom thing, and I will reach out to a girlfriend in a minute, like, how do you do this? You know, how did you do this? And it's helped me so much in the times where I felt like I was alone.
Wow.
And, you know, you're not alone. You just have to have the confidence to reach out to someone else because you don't have it all together.
And create groups.
Yes.
Very good. What I got from that is that from this is that we all have our best life to live. And we all have a story to tell, a chapter to write, a hand to hold, and a legacy to leave. And I think Michelle Obama has shown us that in so many ways. And I think that I know that women are taking this on and becoming their best selves, the best leaders, and creating those legacies.
Well, she has certainly nice. Given us a powerful shot in the arm, mm-hmm. hasn't she?
Yes. Yes.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Tatiana Wheeler and Marilyn French Hubbard for joining our Powering Up podcast. It's been a fascinating conversation about Michelle Obama's amazing book, Becoming, which really is all about the challenges and rewards of each woman finding her own personal power, which is what we're all about here. And, you know, her big, big lesson for me was the importance of learning, yes, you are most definitely enough. So have a good week, everybody. I'm Ann Doyle.
And I'm Monica Doyle.
So Marilyn, Tatiana, Monica, let's all go power up.
All right.
And thank you for the work that you do.
My pleasure. And thanks for joining us at Powering Up, everybody. We hope you'll subscribe and share us with your network. And Monica and I can be reached through my website, Ann Doyle Leadership. And remember, power is the currency for getting things done. Claim yours and put it to work.